From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, The Curse of Rebuilding What God Has Cursed. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. When a believer has fallen to a low, sad state of feeling, he often tries to lift himself out of it by chastening himself with dark and doleful fears. Such is not the way to rise from the dust, but to continue in it. As well chain the eagle's wing to make it mount, as doubt in order to increase our grace. It is not the law, but the gospel which saves the seeking soul at first, and it is not a legal bondage, but gospel liberty which can restore the fainting believer afterwards. Slavish fear brings not back the backslider to God, but the sweet wooings of love allure him to Jesus' bosom. Are you this morning thirsting for the living God, and unhappy because you cannot find him to the delight of your heart? Have you lost the joy of religion, and is this your prayer? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Are you conscious also that you are barren like the dry ground, that you are not bringing forth the fruit unto God which he has a right to expect of you, that you are not so useful in the church or in the world as your heart desires to be? Then here is exactly the promise which you need. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You shall receive the grace which you so much require, and you shall have it to the utmost reach of your needs. Water refreshes the thirsty. You shall be refreshed. Your desire shall be gratified. Water quickens sleeping vegetable life. Your life shall be quickened by fresh grace. Water swells the buds and makes the fruits ripen. You shall have fructifying grace. You shall be made fruitful in the ways of God. Whatever good quality there is in divine grace, you shall enjoy it to the full. All the riches of divine grace you shall receive in plenty. You shall be, as it were, drenched with it. And as sometimes the meadows become flooded by the bursting rivers, and the fields are turned into pools, so shall you be. The thirsty land shall be springs of water.
Name be sought.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, God placed a curse upon anyone who would rebuild the city of Jericho after its destruction. The price for such disobedience would be the deaths of the man's firstborn and of his youngest son, a penalty which was realized during the reign of the evil King Ahab. In applying the teaching of this passage to present-day religious conditions, Dr. Cairns presented the reasons for God's curse upon Jericho. Then he showed how this is paralleled in the apostasy which is rampant in the church today. He began gleaning some theological lessons from God's curse. God has not changed. The passage of time has no effect upon God's word. What God has declared will inevitably come to pass. What he has cursed should have no place in the life of the individual, the nation, or the church. Yet there is grace for those who repent, for God's grace is as real as his curse. Among the practical lessons found in this narrative is the truth that God's blessing is upon those who trust him, even as his curse is upon those who disobey him. Now to conclude this message, the curse of rebuilding what God has cursed, here is Dr. Cairns.
When you think of this text that we have taken this morning, when you think that God says, I curse the man who builds the fortifications of Jericho ever, at any time, but that the people live there without fortifications, you can learn, number one, God's blessing is on those who trust him. His blessing is always on those who trust him. Humanly speaking, in those days, it was folly to live in an unfortified town without defenses. How could they sleep in their bed at night? How could they have any safety? It was folly. But it wasn't. It was faith. They were living under the conditions that the Lord dictated. You see, faith is not blind to the difficulties. Faith is not blind at all to the circumstances. And faith is not just leaping forward into the dark and hoping that somehow or other it will all turn out okay. No, faith is taking a principled stand on what God has said. And God told them, you must not build these fortifications. And yet I give this very site to the children of Benjamin to live in. The implication is clear and plain. You live here, but don't build the fortifications. You live here in the midst of the standing testimony to the power and the mercy and the goodness and yet the severity of God. You live by faith in your Redeemer. And you'll find he is the protection of his people. Obedience is always the best defense that Christians have. Obedience to God is always your best defense. Obedience to God is always the greatest expression of faith as well as of love. And you'll find that when you obey the Lord, you have his blessing. I was thinking of Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Now that's a much better thing than the walls of Jericho. That's a much better defense than the walls of Jericho. To have the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence. And I tell you that the blessing of God and the presence of God is with those who trust him. But equally, God's curse is on those who disobey him. The price of ignoring God's word is enormous. I think of the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 11:26 and then verse 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. The blessings if you obey, and then verse 28, a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. God's curse is on disobedience. Woe to the wicked, said Isaiah. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Woe to the wicked who disobeys the word of God. Let me tell you this morning, my friend, there is a blessing and there is a curse before every man. There's a blessing and a curse before every church. There's a blessing and a curse before you and me. There's a blessing in trusting. There's a blessing in obeying. There's a blessing in living for the Lord Jesus. But oh, who can tell the woe and the heartache and the misery and the loss of those who walk in disobedience to their God? We learn that we should reject not only disobedience, but any method of building the work of God that does not have God's blessing and the authority of his word. When I looked at this text, and then I thought of Hiel the Bethelite, I recognized there are many things that appear to be constructive in the work of God that are really destructive. Now, that opens up a can of worms. This is one of those cases, if we had time, that I could very easily do a Spurgeon, and at least a Spurgeon's grandfather, and sit down and call Reggie up and say, you carry on from here for a while. You think, and I say that because he has studied the various intricacies of many of these things in modern American church life and history. But you think of this. The things that appear to be constructive, the plans and the schemes that people have come up with for church growth, I mean, these are coming across my desk almost every day. Most of them, I have to be honest, don't get opened. They just go straight into the waste bin. You can tell by the envelope. Another plan for church growth. I told you a while ago of the great seeker-sensitive plan. How do you fill your church? Well, you go around the district and you ask all the people who are not going to church, why do you not go to church? What is it you could find in church that would make you want to come to church? If it's a rock concert, well, then have a rock concert and you'll get them in. If it's to have a play on a Sunday morning instead of a preacher, well, then we'll have a play. If, as one big church in Texas found out, it was to have a shopping mall, a beauty parlor, a bowling alley, and all the rest of it, and nothing more than a 10-minute sermonette, then let's go that way. All the plans that masquerade as being constructive, but in reality they're destructive. Hiel the Bethelite could have given many so-called good reasons for his action in rebuilding the fortifications of Jericho. He could have given you military reasons. He could have given you social reasons. He could have given you economic reasons. He could have cited many reasons for rebuilding the walls of Jericho. It was constructive. He was undoubtedly, I have no doubt in the days of Ahab, he was a man of stature. He was a man to be praised and lauded. He was a man of vision. He was a man who was cutting away the trammels of the past. And he was going out into the brave, bold, new future. But in reality, he was destroying the work. And I want to tell you, we need to be careful about anything that would apparently build the work of God apart from the Word of God. What the Lord said of Edom could be said of all who do such things. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Malachi 1 verse 4, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. They who say, we are going to build, God says, it's only pulling down. All that we would recognize, and all that we would take it very seriously, that only that which is biblical is truly constructive. The way to build your life, the way to build your home, the way to build your business, the way to build your church is in absolute obedience to the Word of God. Anything else will be destructive. And then there's one final practical lesson, and I can be brief with this because I have covered it somewhat right at the beginning, but I want to leave it with you as a startling warning. We should see apostasy for what it really is. It's a threat to the family. Hiel damned his family by his apostasy. That was the curse of God in Joshua 6:26. Cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and builds the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest shall he set up the gates of it. They'll be wiped out. Apostasy is a threat to the family. It's a threat to the church, and it's a threat to the nation. And yet most churches today are blithely unaware of the existence of apostasy. I am amazed at the number of evangelical people who glibly say we're living in great days, we're having great revivals, we're seeing great things, and my, they are so full of the great movements of the Spirit as they hold them to be. These movements of the Spirit, so-called, go hand in hand with the most wicked and abominable of practices. They go hand in hand with the most serious deviations from Christian doctrine. They go hand in hand with the most unbiblical ecumenical apostasy. They are not movements of the Spirit. They are the rebuilding of the walls of Jericho. They bring the curse of God. We need to recognize and dread apostasy for what it really is. It's cursing the families, the churches, and the nation. The fear of the Lord is, first of all, clean. Our text is a text that is built on the fear of the Lord. The refusal to build the walls of Jericho flew in the face of all the wisdom of the military men and of the economists and everybody else, the politicians, the lot of them. But that refusal stood because of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean. Oh, that we would recapture that. That we would stand, and in our individual lives and in our church life, and as much as God enables us, therefore, through our influence in the national life, oh, that we would stand in the fear of our God, and we would recognize the curse of rebuilding what God has condemned. There's a better way to build. What is good is what the Lord has showed to His people. What is it? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, to build biblically, to live biblically, to obey our God to the full, and as we trust Him, to enter in to the fullness of His blessing. May the Lord take His word today and apply it with clarity and with power to all our hearts for His name's sake. Let's all pray. Let's all pray. Lord, bless Thy word to every heart, we pray. And after the feeble voice of man is silent, Lord, speak on to every soul. We pray that Thou wilt not let one soul go out of this meeting still in the religion of Cain. But Lord, bring the lost to the Savior. I would thank Thee for him who entered the city of the curse to save sinners under the curse and bring them to salvation. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt save the lost today. And we ask Thee that Thou wilt strengthen us to recognize and to oppose the great apostasy of the last days. Lord, we confess that such apostasy is deepening on every hand. Ecumenical apostasy, modernistic apostasy, that which ignores and defies God's word, that which would despise God's work of grace in Jesus Christ. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt give us grace to take our stand, and having done all, to be found still standing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.